A little bit of new theme music there for you, Roy. I'm joined in the studio by retired CID Murder Squad Detective Roy Tysack, who's here with Roy Tysack's Crime Time. Hello, Roy.
Hi, Michelle.
I sound very far away. I better get in the mic from the road. Really great to see you in the studio today. Give everybody, if they've not heard the show before, give everybody a bit of your background.
Well, I spent most of my career in the Met Police, and then I joined Essex, and during my time in the Met, I was in Whitechapel and all the nice friendly areas of London, like Limehouse and Bow and the Isle of Dogs. When I joined Essex, I spent 3 years on working on forensic team, and I then joined the major investigation team, which is essentially the murder squad working across the county.
Excellent. Now, we're talking today about, I'm slapping my hands on the table because I know there'll be people out there that go, as soon as you say the word, they'll go, car crime.
Yes,
I know. And it's one of those things where people, it just infuriates people.
Absolutely. It's not as dramatic as murder investigations, no. But it's something that does affect everybody in their everyday lives. And quite often, apart from perhaps a speeding fine, it's often the only time people will come in contact with the local police.
Yeah.
What I want to tell you really is that if you're going to have your car stolen, it's much better to have it stolen in Essex than, for example, in the Met or another county. The reason being that if I give you a description of what happens on both occasions, if you have your car stolen, say, in Romford or anywhere around that area or anywhere into London, and if it is found again by police, say, a week or so later, all they will do is notify the owner of the location of the vehicle. Now, this all sounds very well, but if, for example, it's found at 1 o'clock in the morning, it's unlikely they're going to contact you then. It will then get passed over to the morning shift to contact you when they come in. They then telephone your house, but you've already left for work.
Yep.
They send an officer around in the afternoon, but you're still not home, so he leaves a note. So by the time you get the notification, it may be 24 hours since they saw the car. You then have the responsibility of having to go there yourself to actually get your car back. And quite often when you get there, you find the car's either gone again, it's been restolen, or it's been stripped of all the valuables, all the wheels have gone, or it's been burnt out. So very often the condition that the police find your car in is not the condition you find it in if you're lucky enough to find that it's still there. This obviously is a real problem because it just boosts up the insurance claims. You don't get your car back in one piece. However, if it's stolen in Essex, back in 2001, Essex Police introduced a revolutionary new scheme. And it was called a forensic examination of every recovered vehicle. So if your vehicle is stolen in the Essex area, and it is then spotted by a police patrol in the middle of the night or whatever, not only are the police take notice that the vehicle was found, but they will automatically have it forensically recovered.
Mm.
This means that forensically trained garage mechanics will go out with a pickup truck, it will be carefully loaded on and taken back to a secure location. They take care not to touch anything, they wear gloves. It's put into a secure location, which again is forensically aware. Then the next morning, the forensic team, which will now be the ordinary scenes of crime officers, not specifically for vehicles, they will go down to this garage and do a full forensic examination of every single recovered vehicle. This, and bearing in mind, for example, in January of this year, there were 1,075 car crimes just in Essex.
Yeah.
So there are a lot of vehicles. That of course, includes vehicles broken into as well. But when they examine the car, they will be searching for fingerprints, they'll be searching for DNA, fibres, and anything they can find that will lead them to the person that stole it. One of the main reasons, obviously, was to boost the amount of DNA we had on the DNA database.
Yeah.
I was involved in this in the early days of the scheme, and it really was so successful, and we had so many DNA hits and so many people were arrested. And apart from just the odd car that's stolen for a one-off ride, we're also catching the gangs that, for example, were attacking the docks down at Tilbury and going in gangs and crashing through the fence and stealing sort of 10 brand new cars that have just come in, just been imported. So we really did make a massive impact on car crime in Essex. So when you hear that your car has been found in Essex, you know that it is going to be looked after and you will get that car back in the same condition that it was found by police, which I think is absolutely excellent.
Now, I just wanted to ask you one thing before we talk about how you can protect your car, which we'll do in a while, but should people, thinking when you're at home, most people, if you're sensible, have got a house alarm, which people do need because it deters. Even if the alarm goes off and they get in, they won't stay around too long if there's an alarm going.
Yes.
But should you take your car keys upstairs with you, or should you leave them downstairs?
Yes.
What do you think?
That's a very good, very, very good question, and very important one, because cars these days are becoming so sophisticated with regard to the locking systems. I mean, I have a lowly Ford Focus at present, but even that, it doesn't have a key that you put in. Mm. It's just got a thing you turn in the ignition lock. You have to put your foot on the clutch and turn it at the same time, and if a door's open, it won't start. There's all sorts of devices. So what they're doing now, they are committing burglaries to get your car keys. Some are quite sophisticated, and they're actually doing things like putting bent coat hangers through letterboxes to hook them off of hall tables. But most of them, they're just simply breaking in through the front or back door. They know that most people are going to be leaving their car keys on a table in the hall, hanging up in their jacket pocket, hanging up just inside the door. And they wake up in the morning. First thing they see is their front door's open, they look outside, and their lovely cars have gone. So, yes, it's a very, very good suggestion. Thank you, Michelle, for that. It's a very good bit of crime prevention stuff you've done there. Please do not leave your car keys on the hall table. Take them upstairs, put them in the cabinet next to your bed, and keep them out of sight.
Right, now we will come back in a couple of minutes. I've just got to do some ads, and then we're going to come back and we're going to talk about how you can prevent your car from being stolen.
Sure.
And also we're going to talk about the crime over in the Mediterranean at the moment as well.
Yep, sure.
Right, be back straight after. Now, I'm still joined in the studio by Roy Tyzak, retired CID murder squad detective, and we're talking about car crime.
We are indeed. You were asking me earlier about protecting your vehicle and stopping it from being stolen if you're at home. Obviously, a house alarm is always a good idea for any reason, not only to protect your car, but obviously to protect your own home. And make sure it's visible. Make sure there's a nice big alarm box on the outside of the house. Not everybody likes that because it can spoil the look of it, but better that than have all your valuables go missing. With regard to your car, obviously a good loud alarm is a good idea. Make sure it's a good one. Don't be too tempted to get something very cheap off of eBay. The last thing you want is an alarm that goes off unnecessarily, because the neighbours will get very upset and you're going to end up crying wolf and you're going to just switch it off. Get a good quality alarm. But more than that, get a tracker. If you've got a nice car that you really treasure and it's worth a bit of money, then it is worth investing in a tracker. Trackers are activated by the company that sells them to you if your car is stolen. As soon as you notify your insurance company and the company that installs the tracker that your car's gone missing, they activate it, and the police are then able to track that vehicle. It's not foolproof, of course. There are now occasions where they put them into sort of sealed containers where the tracker doesn't penetrate. And then often they're shipped out to foreign parts. But generally speaking, the police have obviously some of the more modern police cars have the tracker equipment built in, but they also have portable ones that can be plugged into any police car, and off they go and track the vehicle. And they're often found in sort of alleyways and backs of industrial property, this sort of thing. So it is worth investing in a tracker. Obviously, be sensible with your car. If you're going to park it in a car park, have a look around and see where the CCTV cameras are pointing. See if you can park it near them. Park under lights whenever possible, especially if you're going to go perhaps up into town and you know you're going to come back very late when your car is going to be possibly the only one left in a station car park, for example. So don't park it in the furthest corners where it's going to be very dark. Park it near the road where people passing by can see if somebody is taking time to break into it. Obviously, with regards to things in the car, don't leave anything on display in the car. Do not leave sat-nav stuck to the windscreen. And don't do what a lot of people do, take your sat-nav off and pop it in the glove compartment. Because that is just the same as leaving it on the windscreen. Even if you take the holder off as well and put it in the glove compartment, because any car thief or criminal worth his salt will see the suction marks on the windscreen. They will know you've got something, and they will break the window and look in the glove compartment. So take it with you. If you can't take it with you and you do have to leave it, then at least lock it in the boot. because it takes literally seconds to smash a window, open a glove compartment and grab whatever's in there.
Yeah.
It takes a bit longer to get in, find how to release the boot, go round to the back, open the boot and search the boot for something. But my advice will be, do not leave it in the car at all.
Right.
If you're, we're talking about going off to Spain and places like this, and of course it's not only Spain, but places like Italy also have a lot of crime when it comes to tourists.
Yeah.
A friend of mine, for example, in Spain, did what I'm sure loads of people have done. I've done it myself, and that's on a long journey, they pulled into one of these little parking areas off in the motorway, which are not like the British ones. They don't have petrol stations, garages. They're just these concreted areas with little bits of garden and perhaps a water pump or something there. And they decided to park up there and sleep overnight so they continue their journey the next morning. When they woke up, they all realised they'd been asleep for a long time and didn't know why. They all had headaches. The back window of the car was smashed and all their luggage are gone. And they had actually been gassed.
Oh my gosh.
And I also know somebody else that this happened to on a train journey abroad, where they had a sleeping compartment and gas had been squirted underneath the doors and they'd been knocked out and their stuff had been stolen.
Yeah.
Again, it comes down to common sense. If you are going to stop overnight, blow the expense. Get somewhere to stay.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be a luxury hotel. There are plenty of little B&B type things across the continent. Do not sleep on deserted car parking areas because you are asking for trouble.
Yeah.
As far as the carjacking situation is concerned, normally the way this happens, I mean, there are different ways. For example, one happened in Romford very recently where a lady was flagged down by somebody pointing in the road as if something was wrong with her car.
Mm-hmm.
She got out, the man just jumped in her car.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, she did a natural reaction was to grab hold of the bonnet, and unfortunately she was thrown from the bonnet and hit a lamppost and is actually very, very badly injured.
Mm-hmm.
But the more common way is that you're pulling up at a road junction in a side street and the car behind just touches your back bumper. It won't be a big collision because they do not want to damage the car they're going to steal.
Yeah.
So it'll just be a little tap in the back. Your natural reaction as a driver is to jump out of your car and to walk back to them. What normally happens then is the driver will stay in their car, the passenger gets out, walks round, and you both start looking at the front of his car and the back of your car. While you're doing that, the passenger will then just walk up, get in your car and drive off.
Mm.
You then turn around and either start to run after him or look in amazement, which gives the driver in the other car time just to reverse, drive around you and drive away. You are left standing at the side of the road with no vehicle.
Mm.
My advice would be, if you're going on the continent, have a small sign made up and laminated, which just says in whichever language of the country you're going to, Spanish or Italian or French, just says, follow me to the police station. Keep that in the glove box in your car. If something like that happens, if you do get a little tap in the back, do not open your windows. Make sure your doors are locked. Hold this sign up to your window so the driver can see it. If they're genuine, they will follow you. They may even lead you to the nearest police station. If they're not genuine, they will just drive away and you'll never see them again.
Mm.
If you're staying in a resort, make sure you know where the nearest police station is. If you don't know where the police station is and this happens, do not open your car doors, do not open your windows, do not get out. Drive to a densely populated area. Drive into the town centre, somewhere where there's lots of people. Then, when you feel safe, if you see a police vehicle or whatever, pull up alongside them and then go straight to them for assistance. But do not, on a deserted road, get out of your car.
No.
And that is the best advice I can give.
Excellent. Well, thank you. It's lovely. Now, how's it going? Can I just ask, because you have a very talented singer that you look after called Matthew Shepherd. How's everything going with Matthew?
He's doing very well indeed. He was performing at the Essex Arms last Saturday. Had a great session there. He's done everything from sort of pure folk clubs. He did a folk club in Loughton a few weeks back, and he was actually billed as the support to a well-known folk duo. But quite frankly, he stole the show. And it was quite nice to see, because it was the first time he had actually been sort of almost mobbed, and he was actually giving out autographs and signing photographs.
Oh, wow.
Which was lovely to see.
Yeah.
He's got a few gigs booked now. We're hoping, we're just waiting to know this week if he's going to be selected for the Brentwood Beer and Music Festival.
Yep.
We're hoping to go down to Devon to the Coombe Martin Festival later in the year. And there's all sorts of things in the pipeline. So he's doing very, very well indeed. And of course, every second Tuesday of the month, he appears at Stand and Deliver, which is the acoustic music club, which we run at the Royal British Legion Club, which is in Churchill, Loughton, which is just go through Debden, turn left towards Loughton, and you'll see the club on your right.
And get there early, because it's always packed. You need to get parking.
It is indeed. It's fantastic. There's a licensed bar. We have food available. We normally have 10 or a dozen different musicians, and they range from classical guitarists to folk duos to singers such as yourself,
right,
who graced our halls one day. So we do have a good selection, and it is a really fun evening, all for about £3. And the only time we'll increase that is if we have a special act that's come to do a feature for us, and then we may push it up to a fiver, never more than that.
Well, thanks ever so much. So don't forget Stand and Deliver, and also Matthew Shepherd, and thank you for coming in and telling us how to keep our car safer, and I'll make sure that my sat nav is not sitting in my glove compartment.
Yeah, please do.
I think there's loads of people out there going, I do that as well, but we all do it. So thanks, you'll be back in again next month.
Yes, what I'd like to talk about next month is going to go back to 1927 to quite a famous murder in Essex. It was the murder of PC George Gutteridge, it's a story that some people will know, some people better than others, but we'll go into a bit more detail. And that actually started with the theft of a car in Essex, so it's quite appropriate.
Okay, brilliant. Okay, have a great afternoon. Hello, Penelope.
Thank you.
Hello. That's Roy's wife. I just said hello in the background. We'll get you talking on the microphone one week, do you think?
Yeah. You'll never stop her once she starts, trust me.
Right, here we go. 11:54, A Girl Called Eddie.